All right, all right, all right. Welcome in to Toilets Two Titles, episode number 32, week number 14. And with me is my main man, Justin Stevens, at Justin FF underscore Justin. What's cooking?
Hey, nothing much. Just watching this Dallas Cowboys and Baltimore Ravens game and hoping that CeeDee Lamb doesn't get another catch, because it's playoff time, baby. It's all upon us. We got playoffs starting next week, so this is the end of the regular season. And one of my scenarios, one of my big scenarios, are relying on CeeDee Lamb to not catch another pass. So my eyes are going to be wandering a little bit during the show.
That's fine, man. That is fine. It is completely allowed for your eyes to be wandering during the fantasy football playoff season on a fantasy football podcast. Completely legit. I was hoping it was going to come down to, I have Amari Cooper in one league going against CeeDee Lamb, and it was a close matchup until last night. Deontay did well for me yesterday, and then I had Zach Moss going that night, and he had Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis. And it was close, but then both of those guys went off and Zach Moss did garbage. I was so happy when Devin Singletary went down, because I thought it was going to be a Zach Moss evening. And then Zach Moss ends up getting dinged up and he fumbles. And then they bench him the rest of the game. So if it would have stayed close, it would have came down to Cooper versus CeeDee. And now it's not close. He is up by 31 points currently. And I would need Amari Cooper to ball out over the next three quarters for me to have a chance. But I'm still going to – I'm 7-5 in this league. It's a redraft league. I'm playing the first-place team. He's 9-3. And I'm in the playoff picture right now. I have the 6th seed in the 14-team league. And I believe I have the tiebreaker, but I'm not 100% sure. I won't know till tomorrow. So I should be good. And my team's one of the higher-scoring teams in the league. So all you got to do, you got to get in. You got to get a ticket to the dance in order to win the thing. So yep. I'm not concerned about who I play, when I play them. I'm just concerned I get in. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right. But you guys know you can find the show on Twitter at Toilets Two Titles. You can find me on Twitter at Coach Shep, and Nate, our other co-host. He's not here this evening, but he's at Nate underscore Dirt 19. And Nate, we're with you, man. I know you're busy right now, so we're going to hold this thing down for you. Everybody, if you want to listen to the show other than a way that you're listening this evening, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, or on our YouTube channel. All right. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please hit the, give us a review, hit the like button, subscribe. If you can, go on our YouTube channel, hit the like button, subscribe, leave some comments, all of that stuff, you know, really helps us out and really helps the algorithm that gets us more views when people search fantasy football podcast. And we're going to be doing some giveaways. We just did a giveaway for a Gardner Minshew card. I sent that out. So I hope Beryl Joffrey, I hope he got it. I'm not sure if he did, but that was legit.
He sent me a picture. I forgot to forward it to you, but he got it yesterday, and he said that his son is already trying to talk him out of it.
All right. Well, they can just win. They'll have to win the next giveaway. I got tons of cards. If you follow me on Twitter and you saw, I think it was like 2 or 3 days, I think it was Saturday, I posted a bunch of my cards for sale. Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf. I got a bunch, CeeDee Lamb. So if some of those don't get sold, maybe I'll do a giveaway if we get to like a few thousand followers. You know what I mean? If we can get a few people involved. But anyway, Justin, why don't you talk about our new affiliate, my friend?
Yeah, so if you guys didn't catch last week's episode, as you can see, I'm recording from a new studio right now. My camera guy is currently eating pork chops that they grilled out, so he's not able to pan out. But I was kind of, maybe later in the show, we might be able to pan out to see the whole wall because it's pretty impressive, really. But I'm at the MLO Studios. That stands for Moonlight and Outdoors. Our new affiliate that is primarily a hunting and fishing type show right now. Well, hunting, I should say. And they are expanding outward. They've invited us to be a part of this this expansion. We are the first sports show that they have on their network that's not hunting related. And you can go to their YouTube channel. Again, just type in Moonlight and Outdoors. and look for it, and you'll find our episodes on there eventually. One of these days, we're going to start putting our own episodes on there along with their hunting episodes and a multitude of other episodes that they have planned for other different types of sports. And also, potentially an episode with John and I later on tonight after this show so that we can introduce ourselves to their audience. So, so a huge thanks to MLO for having us letting us be a part of this, and hopefully we can both help each other grow.
And a huge thanks and shout out to Rich Gonzalez for coming through every week and checking in on our live YouTube streams. That's my guy right there. He's an original member of the original Frankenstank League, and we're going to be doing multiple of those next year. We got like 3 or 4 coming down the pipe. So that's going to be what is it? Is it 12 team or 14 team, Justin?
It's 14 team this year for this one league.
I think we're going to keep it, man. So that means if we're filling 3 more, that's what, 42 more people. So there's 42 spots of our listeners, friends of the show. So we're going to fill these things. I know we're going to tweak with the settings, with the scoring a little bit. We're going to, you know, come up with some funky names. You know, we're going to keep it kind of monster themed. And I know we've teased this throughout some other episodes, but I'm really looking forward to next season's because it's going to be a blast, you know, because then they're going to be divisions. And then we're going to end up bringing them all together. So that should be a lot of fun. And Rich said next year he's going to be kicking ass in that league. So, you know, Rich, if you're going to talk a big game, man, you got to bring it because we're going to hold you to it, all right? And then if you don't, we're going to make you come on the show and talk about how you didn't, all right? So,
I don't
need you to bring it. But anyway, go ahead.
Several of his drafts this offseason for this year, and he's had a lot of really good drafts. So I'm hoping that this was just a fluke that he didn't play so well this year and he will come back and kick some ass because he deserves it.
You know who didn't have a good draft? I think you did an article or something about you ranked all the drafts in this league, and I think you gave me the worst grade. So I don't forget, man. I remember that, and I'm a playoff team, baby.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a playoff team, baby. I got Ronald Jones as my RB1, DeAndre Swift, but I can't talk smack now. I got to win the thing before I start talking the junk. But anyway, everybody, you do know that this season we are doing a giveaway for Fantasy Cares. Every 50 followers this season will be donating $10 to a charity of our choosing. And I believe we picked the Tim Tebow Foundation, which helps to prevent human trafficking, which is a big problem in the world right now. We're currently at $100. Our next target is 739 followers. So we're at 738. So the next person who goes on Twitter and follows at Toilets to Titles will secure the fact that we are going to be up to $110 in donations. So that next person is going to be that's going to move the needle right there. He did. I know Rich, sorry, everyone. If you're listening at home and you're not watching live, Rich just said that Justin gave everybody else a good grade. I know, man. He came for me.
He said everybody. I even gave you a good grade. It just wasn't as good as everyone else.
He was like a C, man.
Yeah, that's average.
Yeah. I know, Rich. He gave everybody a good grade for me. He was taking shots at me early on. He was calling me out. That was a lot
of high school. I wish I would have got to see him.
It was an extension of the bathroom board, I think. Yeah, that's what it was. But all right, we got to move on. We got some news, some injury report. Justin, why don't you take us through the injury news from week 13 and some injury updates?
Yeah, I got a quick one this week. Fortunately, we made it through relatively unscathed. Darrell Henderson does have a knee injury. It's kind of unclear how bad as of right now, but Cam Akers looked really good, and he has been looking really good the last couple weeks. He's getting better. So if Darrell Henderson sees extended time on the bench getting healed up, then Akers could potentially have a huge workload with not having Henderson take any carries from them. And then Malcolm Brown might even get a little bit of a bump as well, just from opportunity. Frank Gore had a concussion. Ty Johnson is the next man up, and they are already down Perrine, and they lost Lev Bell early in the season to the trade. So they really there's nobody left. So Ty Johnson could get a lot of opportunity in that bad offense. And then Joshua Kelly had an ankle injury. If he misses time, then Eckler just becomes even more unleashed than he already has been. Eckler is going to be an absolute monster for your fantasy playoffs. On the updates, there are talks that DeAndre Swift may not play again this season, and that is very disheartening because he was really starting to come on, really starting to come into his own. Then last week, Adrian Peterson had that comment where he said, you know, that DeAndre Swift just hasn't really looked the same or been the same. Like, he's not the same guy since he had that concussion. Then he had this crazy illness all of a sudden last week that kept him out when he was supposed to be getting out of the concussion protocol. So it just makes you worry, a guy that young and that talented to have concussion issues already at this young stage of his career. So we really hope the best for him, obviously. But until then, Adrian Peterson is still looking like a very serviceable running back, especially depending on matchup for your playoffs. And then Josh Jacobs' injury is most likely a lot worse than what they initially anticipated, and he could be out for a stretch in your fantasy playoffs, so make sure you're paying close attention to that. And we'll go from there. But that's it for your injury news.
Man, remember that cat, that young guy, linebacker for San Francisco, who had a concussion early on? Was it Chris Borland? I remember he had a monster season. I think it was after Patrick Willis retired. Or maybe Willis was hurt. It was right around that time, and he had a monster season. I think it was from Nebraska or Wisconsin, and then ended up retiring the next year just because he didn't want to deal with concussions. He was too scared of them. He already had one, and he was done. So, yeah. I mean, you never know, man. You never know. All it takes is one hit, and it's scary. It is a scary thing. But anyway, you spoke about Cam Akers. I got a few Cam Akers autos. So maybe that's – maybe that's the next one. Maybe we'll do a Cam Akers giveaway. So I'm going to tease that a little bit, but that might be the next one. So
I don't know. You might give it a couple of weeks for him to blow up, and that one might sell big for you on Twitter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe I need to get it out now so that I can't go back on it. You know what I'm saying? So we could get some of the listeners excited. But all right. Anyway, let's go on to our games of the week. My game of the week this week, I got the Ravens at the Browns, which is the Monday Night Football game. The Ravens need a win in a bad way. They should beat the Cowboys tonight, but in their own division, they definitely need a win, especially in their own conference. They're feeling themselves, and they plan on making a playoff run. But everybody knows this, all right? They can plan to make a playoff run, but everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And Baltimore is going to try to do just that. And let's see how this Cleveland Browns team responds to a shot square in the schnozzle. All right, Justin, what's your game of the week, my friend?
I actually caught that reference this time. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
So my game of the week is for Sunday Night Football, and it's kind of funny. I wrote that down before last night's game, and I had stated that I felt like the Bills, in a huge statement game, were going to give the Steelers their first loss of the season. I had to go back and edit it after the Steelers got that surprise loss last night. So, and they lost last night to the Redskins of all teams. So evidently, they really want that division bad. But I still think that the Bills are going to pull off the victory next week, even though the Steelers are coming off a loss, and it's rare for them to lose two in a row like that, especially with Mike Tomlin at the helm. But I tell you what, even going into this last week's game, I just haven't felt like the Steelers were playing to their full potential now that they've lost so many players on defense, and they're big players too. This last loss, Bud Dupree, I mean, he was their sack monster, and they don't have him now. So that's a huge loss. So I feel like the Bills are going to make a huge statement. They're going to win this game against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, and they're only going to pull within one game behind of the once dominant Steelers for a shot at that number one seed in the AFC.
All right. Why don't you why don't we discuss Thrive a little bit so we can get everybody some betting action this week?
Yeah, if you haven't downloaded the Thrive app already, you really should. All you have to do, you go on, you pull up the Thrive app on any of your major smartphones in the App Store. You pull up the Thrive Fantasy app, and when you pull it up, you can deposit money. When you do, it'll ask you for a promo code. You enter that promo code right there under John's chin, T2T, and that stands for Toilets to Titles, T2T. and download some cash. You download anywhere between $20 to $50, and they will double that deposit. So if you deposit $50, you're going to have $100 to bet on. When you bet, you're betting prop bets. You're going to be betting how many touchdowns a guy's going to have over and under, over or under 0.5 touchdowns rushing, or over under 1.5 touchdowns passing. You get points based on how you do it with each individual bet, and you can win some money. So it's pretty simple. It's a lot of fun. And don't forget, if you do this and you download it, send us some information about the money that you won, or how you played, what you played. Just tell us a little bit more about your experience with Thrive, and then maybe we can record you for a sound drop, doing our sound drop for us on the Fantasy Drive to promote Fantasy Thrive app.
All right. So this week, I took my chances with the betting segment. All right. So these are the lines. Yeah, man. I'm throwing a curveball here. I'm going to do the betting lines. These are the lines that caught my eye this week. Right. I like the Patriots +5 versus the Rams, man. I think that Belichick has done a great job with that defense. He stifled Kyler Murray. He stifled Justin Herbert. And I think Jared Goff is probably the easiest to stifle out of those three guys, even with Herbert being a rookie. I think Goff's got so much going on between him and McVay, and I think Belichick knows that, and I think Belichick's going to give him a hard time. Patriots +5, even if the Rams win, I don't think it's going to be by more than 5 points. So I like the Patriots +5 at the Rams. I like the Chargers +2.5. They got beat pretty bad last week, and they're playing Atlanta. Atlanta's terrible. Matt Ryan's playing terrible, and they have nobody that can cover Keenan Allen, all right? Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, Chargers are going to put up a lot of points. So give me the Chargers +2.5 versus Atlanta. And then finally, my lock of the week is Buffalo -2.5 versus Pittsburgh, man. I do think that Buffalo wipes the floor with Pittsburgh. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Pittsburgh's reeling, and I think Pittsburgh's a bit of a martyr. You know, they're starting to feel bad for themselves because they had to play 3 games in 12 days. That's what anybody has to do when they play a Thursday night football game. All right. So they're no different than anybody who plays Thursday night football game. And I think that they think the NFL's got it in for them. And anytime I hear anything like that, it just sounds like a built-in excuse for when they lose. So Pittsburgh's going to go on a little bit of a downward spiral here. They're still going to make the playoffs. They'll probably bounce back after this week, but give me Buffalo -2.5. Versus Pittsburgh. What do you think, Justin?
I like it. I like it a lot. And you know how we were discussing earlier that I'm going to have my right eye a little bit on this Cowboys game?
Right.
Got an update here. CD Lamb just caught another 4-yard catch. So 5 more yards for him, and I am no longer the number one seed in my league. So so we're going to send out a bunch of bad negative vibes towards CD's hamstring right now. If you guys, if you're watching live, just send those bad vibes to his hamstring. 4 yards, I'm fine. 5, I'm done. So I gotta have this number one seed because it means so much more in this league because of bragging rights.
So if CD Lamb pulls a hamstring, and would you change it from calling it the number one seed to the number one CD possibly because of the way that you got it?
I will name it that for the rest of the season, and I will send him an autograph card myself.
Send him. All right, send me one too, please. I would like one. I would like
my autograph. It'll probably be some other random football player like Kelvin Benjamin or some crap like that. But
Kelvin Benjamin.
I don't know. Where did I pull that name out of?
I don't know.
I know where I pulled that name out of because I have a Kelvin Benjamin rookie card that I found the other day, and I was just a guest on the Sideline Squib. So this is an opportunity for me to give them a shout out. The Sideline Squib podcast had me on, I believe it was it was Saturday night to talk some fantasy football, and he is a huge Kelvin Benjamin fan, the host there. So
I bet he likes Tamori and Terry as well then.
Probably
wide receiver, Florida State, another big target.
But don't forget, Steve, if you're listening, send me your address and I'll send you that card free of charge. It's not autographed, it's just Kelvin Benjamin, but it is in great condition because it was in a nice plastic case, hard case, so it was well taken care of because whoever owned that card before evidently felt as highly of him as you did, Steve, when he came out, and they thought it was going to be worth something.
Well, as long as you don't send it with any of those negative hamstring vibes. All right. So keep sending them all in CD's way. Don't send any in the Kelvin Benjamin card way, because then you'll be sending negative vibes through the mail. It could be a whole different.
Man, CD just slid on the turf and kind of got up slowly, but he's fine. Man, I thought it worked.
All right. We're going to get off of jinxing people, and we're going to move on to dudes.
Oh, yeah. Dudes and butts.
What I decided to do this week, because it's the end of the regular season. Yeah, it's the end of the regular season. So this week I'm doing my regular season all dude team, followed by my dudes and duds. As always, everybody, we put this all up in article form on FusionFFB.com. Thanks to Joshua Bigby. He's been helping us out all season. So if you want to go check this out, you can listen to it on the show, but you can also go to FusionFFB.com. And this week it'll be titled, the title's NFL Week 14 Primer. And you can go and read all of this. Everything we discuss on here is going to be on there. We just kind of copy and paste our show notes. But anyway, all dudes team. Quarterback for the all dudes team, Kyler Murray. Kyler took a giant step this season and finished quarterback 2, just 3 points behind Patrick Mahomes. Kyler finished QB5 or better in 7 of his 12 games through week 13. He took a big step, all right? And I think I'm very happy with him at the helm of the all dudes team. My QB2 of the all dudes team is Ryan Tannehill, ADP of quarterback 21 and 132 overall. If you were lucky enough to grab Tannehill that late in your draft, you were rewarded very nicely. Tannehill finished the fantasy football regular season as QB7 and was QB1 once, while also finishing top 5 two other times. One of this was this very important week for owners who were in need of a W to get into the playoffs. The dude finished QB1 this week. All right. So if you started this cat, but you got 132nd overall and you needed a W, he came through for you. That's dude status. My RB1 of the all dudes team is Dalvin Cook. Cook was the 4th running back off the board behind Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott. Guess what? He finished higher than all of them. All right. I know Barkley's hurt. I know McCaffrey's dinged up, but that still matters. They're not producing. And the running back 4 is. Cook finished 1st in rushing touchdowns, 2nd in rushing yards, and had the 6th most receiving yards of all running backs. He finished RB2 through week 13. James Robinson is my RB2 of the all dudes team, with an ADP of running back 52 and 332nd overall. This cat was the steal of every single draft. He finished the season as running back 4 behind only Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and Derrick Henry. Had some great company. My wide receiver 1 for the all dudes team, DK Metcalf. DK transformed into a full-blown playmaker this season. I've been hearing a lot of he isn't Megatron or he is Megatron talk from the football fan world, and I stand firm on the belief that he's not, or is he, Megatron. It's T.O. 100% I see Terrell Owens in this cat. He is straight up physically dominating his competition. There's no stopping him. He leads the league in receiving yards and finished wide receiver 3 as far as fantasy points go. My wide receiver 2 for the all dudes team is Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson was drafted behind Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Jalen Reagor in the NFL draft, and he outproduced every single one of them. The 50th wide receiver off the board in ADP, and he's your wide receiver 7 after week 13. All right. He's 2 spots ahead of his partner in crime, Adam Thielen. All right. So this cat, not only was he wide receiver 7, he's the wide receiver 1 in Minnesota ahead of veteran Adam Thielen. So he's my wide receiver 2 on the all dudes team. And finally, my dude of the year, the first ever Toilets to Titles regular season all dudes team dude of the year goes to the tight end, Travis Kelce. All right. I faded him and George Kittle a bit this offseason because I didn't think both could continue to dominate as they had over the past few seasons. And Travis Kelce, he proved me wrong, absolutely wrong. Kelce has 40 more points than the next closest tight end. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's like 4 weeks of tight end production. That's the how far he is from the tight end too. That's ridiculous. If he was considered a wide receiver, he'd be the wide receiver 3. So this cat, he gets the trophy or he gets the award for the all dudes team regular season dude of the year. Justin, you got anything to say about the all dudes team?
Did you hear that applause or no? Could you hear that?
I did not. Okay.
That I hear. That was for your overall dude of the year. I like the comparison of DK Metcalf to T.O. because, you know, you remember when T.O. was crying on camera and talking about how, you know, like literally crying with tears saying that's my quarterback. Yep. And then you got the soundbite of DK on the phone talking to Pete Carroll, talking about what took you guys so long. Like there are a couple of big dudes that are solid dudes that are also real soft hearted, you know? So I like it. I like it.
Thank you very much. So that's that from now on, if you're a toilet, the titler, or what do we call our listeners, Justin?
The Pro Bowlers.
The Pro Bowlers. All right. So if you're a Pro Bowler, if you listen, so we say it's Terrell Owens, not Megatron. All right. That's yeah. They're both cut from the same cloth. They're yeah. You know, branches off the same tree. You know that's what I'm right. saying?
I like it. And that Justin Jefferson call, man, I tell you what, rookie wide receivers this year have completely annihilated my previous views on rookie wide receivers in the NFL. Like,
be careful though. Be careful because I don't think you can't put them. Next year's class is going to be different.
No, I get that. I get that. I guess what I'm saying is I never would have given any of them a chance.
Right.
Going into it, I said that if I was going to give any of them a chance, it might be CeeDee Lamb. It's saying like for as far as first year receivers go. Obviously, I really like Justin Jefferson. That shows on my preseason ranks and stuff like that. And I really liked a couple of the other big name guys, T. Higgins and whoever else. But I didn't think any of them would perform their rookie year. I really didn't. I mean, I was kind of confident that one would, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint who it was. But man, you got guys like Mooney that's performing for the Bears, Gabriel Davis for the Bills. Like these rookies.
You know who's balling out and is in? This is actually kind of a teaser. Excuse me, because I'm going to talk about him a little later. But Brandon Ayuk, man, Ayuk is like nobody's really talking about him because the fact that he's all these other guys have been doing it. He's been banged up a little here and there, but Brandon Ayuk is another guy. He is killing it. He's absolutely killing it.
Yeah. So I guess Rich heard the audience clapping. The crowd under the bleachers. All right. Yeah. So I guess my point is like, so I'm not going to like overvalue rookie wide receivers in the future. I'm just saying I might actually give some of them a chance. I might look into it a little bit more in depth instead of just assuming that a wide receiver is going to take a couple of years to pick up on the game.
It's a shame that we didn't get to see CD as a rookie with the full season of Dak Prescott, because I think it would have been him and Justin Jefferson would have put on a show. They would have, left and right. It would have been back and forth, back and forth. But, that's the way the cookie crumbles, man. All right, dudes, my dudes for this week. My quarterback won this week, Ryan Tannehill at Jacksonville. The Jags have given up the fourth most points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And Tannehill is coming off of a very hot performance. He had 380 yards and 3 touchdowns versus Cleveland. My quarterback two dude is Tom Brady versus Minnesota. Minnesota allowed Mike Glennon to throw for 280 yards last week, and Tom Brady is licking his chops, as he should be. In a must-win game and coming off of a bye week, Brady will be at his absolute best. My running back dude this week, David Montgomery versus Houston. Monty was the running back one last week. All right, we had a lot of back and forth on Twitter last week, kind of talking about the Miles Sanders, David Montgomery thing. And a few people were still throwing shots at Montgomery, and they were still trying to put their eggs in the Miles Sanders basket. Monty came out and balled. RB1, all right? I'm riding this thing until the wheels fall off. He's producing, and he's getting the volume. Let's roll. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to throw you a bone here too, though, Justin. Jonathan Taylor is my second running back due to the week at the Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry, Rich. But I think Taylor's going to eat. He finished running back 5 last week and heads to Vegas, where he will face a defense that lets up the fourth most points to running back per game. Taylor is peaking, and this is a great opportunity for him to have a monster game. Ooh, Rich is saying Colts Raiders is a game of the week. I like it. It very well could be. They both need a W. My dude, wide receiver, the first one I have is Corey Davis at Jacksonville. So I'm stacking Ryan Tannehill with Corey Davis. The Corey Davis breakout continues. He was wide receiver one in week 13. 11 receptions, 182 yards, and a touchdown. I'm stacking him with Tannehill. They have a very juicy matchup. My second wide receiver dude of the week is Brandon Ayuk, who I talked about earlier, versus Washington. When you look up dude in the Sheps' football dictionary, under synonyms, you will see Brandon Ayuk. All right? Because he's a certified dude. He's not getting as much attention as a rookie breakout due to some of the other big names this season. But over the last four games, he's had the following stat lines. 6 receptions, 115 yards. 8 receptions, 91 yards and a touchdown. 7 receptions, 75 yards and a touchdown. And 5 receptions for 95 yards and a touchdown. He has been steady. Start him up. And finally, my tight end on the dudes list this week, Hunter Henry versus Atlanta. The Falcons have given up the fifth most points per game to tight ends this season. The Chargers offense was shut down last week, and they'll look to open things up versus a poor Falcons secondary. Coming off of his lowest target total, 2, of the season, Henry should get a lot of work this weekend. All right, finally, my duds. First dud, Jared Goff versus New England. Patriots have been absolutely eliminating quarterbacks over the past few weeks. In a playoff week, you cannot afford to start Goff. Baker Mayfield versus Baltimore. It may be hard for Mayfield owners to sit him after his monster performance last week, but I think they should. Baltimore held Ben and Poe to 266 yards and a touchdown and one interception 2 weeks ago, and they will bring that same energy into Cleveland. Running back Miles Sanders at New Orleans. Miles Sanders had 3 points last week. 3 points, all right? The Saints have the best rushing defense in the NFL right now, and things aren't getting any better in Philly. With Hurts at the helm, New Orleans will dare Philly to throw. Bills running backs at Pittsburgh. If the Bills thought the matchup with San Fran was a physical one, wait till they head to Pittsburgh where they're a little pissed off. Singletary was banged up early versus Baltimore. I'm sorry, was banged up early versus San Francisco, but returned to take the bulk of the carries after Moss got banged up and fumbled. Too many questions in that backfield and not enough promise this week. Devontae Parker at Kansas City. With Fitzpatrick in week 12, Parker finished wide receiver 11. With Tua in week 13, he was wide receiver 62. I just don't trust Tua and that offense enough to get Parker going. Shut him down. Broncos wide receivers at Carolina. I like Patrick. I like Judy. I like Hamler. But I just don't know which wide receiver will be the guy this week. Carolina has had a solid pass defense, and things won't be easy for those wide receivers. One of them is bound to get into the end zone at least once, but I just can't tell you which one it'll be. Finally, Trey Burton at Las Vegas as my tight end dud of the week. I started Burton wherever I had him last week, thinking he'd build off his tight end 14 finish in week 11 and tight end 11 finish in week 12. He disappointed me by finishing behind Mo Alie-Cox and Jack Doyle. All right, two guys on his team. If I have a better option at tight end, starting him over Trey Burton. Justin, streamers.
Yeah, all right. So I was going to mention something about – oh, yeah, your Baker Mayfield call.
Okay.
Seeing Baker Mayfield go off the way he did and have such an amazing first half, this is a championship move to choose to bench a guy that's hot like that. Like, to know the matchup, to know Baker's weaknesses, and to know that this most likely isn't going to be a very good game for him and bench him after that, it takes guts. It really does. But – we also have to assume that you had Baker Mayfield as your number two quarterback anyway, or as a streaming quarterback. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal to move on from him for week one of the playoffs. So, but a lot of times people will just play that hot hand, and that's not always necessarily the smart move. So I like that one especially.
I got him and Matt Ryan in one league, and that's tough. That is very tough because Matt Ryan has just been a turd this season, but I think it's a week to sit Baker Mayfield.
All right, so my streamers, did I get my – yep, all right. So my streamers for this week, well, first off, I'm going to update from last week. I actually did really good again. I'm actually on a roll here. The last several weeks I've had a lot more good than bad. So hopefully this continues for me throughout the playoffs. But the good this week, Taysom Hill was a top 8 quarterback. I said on the show last week that he would be a top 10 quarterback. He finished 8th, and that's before tonight's game. So even if Andy Dalton blows our mind and Lamar has another decent second half, he's still going to finish top 10. Cousins, I said Kirk would have a game similar to his previous four games that he had. In those four games, he averaged 283 yards and 2.75 touchdowns. In this game this week, he had 283 yards and three touchdowns. So it was very similar to the same stat line that he had each of the previous 4 weeks on average. Derek Carr finally had a great game in a game where he should have a great game. He was a top three quarterback this week. They still almost lost to the Jets. Don't really understand exactly how that team can sleep at night with having all the talent that they have and beating the teams they beat and then losing to the teams they lose to. It's still insane to me, but they somehow pulled off the win, and that touchdown at the end gave you even more Derek Carr points. So if you started him this week, you're pretty satisfied. Corey Davis. I spoke highly of Davis last week. In fact, of all the wide receivers I mentioned last week in the streamers, he's the only one that I actually wrote about that I wanted to take time to talk about last week in this section. He had over 35 PPR fantasy points in his breakout game in his breakout season. So I'm really happy about that call. I was able to pick him up in a couple of leagues and start him this week, and it paid off really well. Robert Tonyan, top six tight end. The Raiders and the Seahawks were both top 12 defenses. Baker Mayfield was a top three quarterback, just as you just talked about a moment ago. Now Debo, 13.6 PPR points. And then Henry Ruggs, 15.4 PPR and a touchdown. And Tyler Eifert had 10.5 PPR points. Now, my bad calls were pretty bad. James White, I don't think anyone could have actually foreseen a 45-0 blowout for the Patriots over the Chargers, but it happened. And when that happens, they don't really need their third down back catching balls out of the backfield. He only had three catches for 1 yard. Latavius Murray, 3.7 PPR points. And this one I completely missed because the game script was kind of like I expected for Murray to get a lot of usage still. And they still did not really utilize him like I felt that they would. So that was just a bad call. And then Trey Burton had one catch for 11 yards, his worst game since week 9. Streamers this week. Quarterbacks are pretty rough this week, and so are tight ends. But I did the best I could. Remember, I try to keep it so that if ESPN and Yahoo League say that they are 60% owned or less, then I consider them potential streamers because most people are playing on those formats in redraft, which is what I specialize in. And it's hard to get good streamers in Dynasty unless you're making trades to get them. But so just to throw that out there, and let's see. Philip Rivers still falls in that category, and he's playing Vegas this week. It's been a while since I've actually trusted Philip Rivers as a streaming quarterback, but I finally watched enough consecutive Colts games in a row to see that the coaching staff has really tightened the reins on the old gunslinger, and they're forcing him to be more of a game manager. As a game manager in this offense, those short dump-off passes really add up fast, and the effective run game also provides for more efficient passing plays in the red zone, which is exactly what the Colts need to continue to succeed. This is way different than the Phillip Rivers that we've grown accustomed to seeing over the last season and a half, but now the about 6 or 8 games in a row of him being a game manager, if you tie all that in with the fact that he's facing the Raiders this week, who are pretty favorable against the opposing quarterbacks, this should be at least a top 15 quarterback performance for him, which isn't horrible for a screaming quarterback. And then Andy Dalton playing against Cincinnati. He's playing right now against the Ravens, and he's not looking that great, but he's also not really looking horrible, and the Ravens do have a really tough defense. So next week, facing Cincinnati, with the revenge game and everything, the fact that he's going to be facing his old team, I'm not expecting anything great from either side. Like, that offensive line is still going to break down for the Bengals like it usually does, and you're going to see a lot of defensive breakdowns for the Cowboys as well, just like we saw tonight on that 37-yard Lamar Jackson run. Like, there's just certain plays where they're going to break down, and the big one's going to be there, and I think Andy Dalton's going to be able to take advantage of that. Running backs. J.D. McKissic still falls in that category of unowned in enough leagues for me to call him a streamer this week, and they're playing against San Francisco. McKissic is very streamable in PPR leagues, very streamable. He's kind of borderline in non-PPR, but in PPR leagues, You really want him, especially this week. Alex Smith absolutely peppered McKissick with targets when the game is close. He does it every single time it's close. Week 9 was a 3-point game against the Giants, and he had 14 targets. Week 10 was a 3-point game against the Lions, and he had 15 targets. Week 11 and 12 were not so close. They had a combined difference of 36 points over the Bengals and the Cowboys, and he averaged 3 targets per game in those 2 games. Now, this week, he played against the Steelers, and it was a close game all the way to the end, and he had 10 targets. So, in short, to sum it up, if you can anticipate a normal or negative game script, you can anticipate a lot of targets for McKissick. If you can anticipate the Washington football team blowing someone out, you can anticipate a very low opportunity game for McKissick. And I feel that the 49ers still have what it takes to make this a close game. I actually think it's going to be a really good game to watch. And for that reason, I'm saying that McKissick should, in theory, get a lot of targets again. Philip Lindsay at Carolina. He's available in 56% of Yahoo leagues and 55% of ESPN leagues. He still hasn't played exceptionally well all season, but his shares have actually been there the last 3 weeks anyway. And the Broncos faced the Panthers in week 14, so the matchup is very nice as well. With good streaming options limited, I would be fine with starting a running back, getting a decent snap share in a solid lineup. Wide receivers. I've got Tim Patrick here against Carolina. Patrick is getting 17.6% target share. That's 6 targets per game, excluding the game against the Saints where they literally had no quarterback. Carolina is kind of middle of the road against wide receivers, and it is certain that the Broncos will have to continue to throw the ball and play from behind. I wrote down LaVisca Chenault here. I didn't get the opportunity to fill out the reason why for LaVisca Chenault. So, John, can you remind me who they are playing? And I'll get back to that one. Who the Jaguars are playing?
The Jaguars. I have it. Oh, they're playing the. Are they playing the
Buc- oh, they're playing Titans. The Titans are one of my defenses here. So LaVisca Chenault's starting to come on strong here lately. Again, I don't have the stats in front of me. It looks like
you put me on the spot right there, man.
Well, I was going to have you look for it while I went ahead and talked about my tight end, but you had it really quick. So I think we're good.
No, I was wrong.
Oh, my bad.
It's all right, because I had talked about the Jaguars when I talked about Brady. Yeah. Because I was talking about Glennon and who Glennon played against last week, the Vikings. And so I kind of 6 degrees of separation it, and I was wrong. So,
nah, I got you. Yeah. He's another one of those rookie wide receivers that we were kind of talking about earlier. He's starting to come on strong. He's looking good in that offense. They're utilizing him and making sure they get him the ball. And you know, I mean, against the Titans, the Titans do have their moments on defense where they just break down, and Chenault has the speed and the athleticism to take advantage of that. So I see him with the potential of having a decent game for a streaming wide receiver this week. Dalton Schultz, I told you guys, tight ends are kind of rough this coming week. Oh, man. I have a feeling that CeeDee Lamb must have got the yardage while I was talking here, because the guy that took over the number one seed just posted in our group chat.
Uh-oh. So
now we need a fumble. Now we need a fumble.
Run in the wrong direction.
Dalton Schultz at Cincinnati. The Bengals give up the 4th most points to tight ends, and Schultz has averaged 6 targets per game this season. That's the 10th most targets in the league, and I'm calling for at least 12 PPR fantasy points for Dalton Schultz this week, even if he doesn't score. That's how many points I think he's going to get in PPR, just without a touchdown even. So he gets a touchdown, he's going to be even over the top of that. So that's one of my big, bigger, bold calls of the week this week. The Titans are my streaming defense against the Jaguars. The Jaguars played well overall against the Vikings, but this game has 2 great running games involved. You've got the Titans on one side and Jacksonville on the other side. They're both running the ball really well this year. And I know you wouldn't think it from looking at Jacksonville's win-loss record, but James Robinson is, if you count his dump-off passes from the backfield, he has actually been able to perform really well. So those little dump off passes also continue to run the clock. So I think this is going to be a clock management game from both sides, where it could potentially end pretty quick. And when that happens, the defenses aren't giving up a whole lot of yards because the clock is ending too soon, because there aren't as many drives involved in the game. Both of the passing games are still really good, don't get me wrong, but they're more of an efficient passing game rather than an explosive passing game. Obviously, A.J. Brown could break one at any moment. You know, LaVisca Chenault could break one. I mean, that's that kind of stuff happens. But we're not talking, you know, big bomb attempts that are going to come up incomplete, or a lot of throwaway passes that come up incomplete and stop the clock, and then there's more plays involved. So it's by the numbers that the Titans could be a decent defense this week, in my opinion. Washington at San Francisco. Washington's still fighting for the top spot in the NFC East, and they looked pretty good against the Steelers, and they handed them their first loss, so that was interesting to see. And Nick Mullins simply isn't a quarterback that scares me if I'm a defensive coordinator, so I think that they can manage that game pretty well. My other streamers to consider: KJ Hamler, wide receiver for the Broncos; Cole Beasley. I'm still going to put Trey Burton on here for another week. I think that was a one-week letdown. The 49ers against Washington, and Dallas at Cincinnati for another defense.
Man, I'm feeling pretty good about Washington right now. As much as I, you know, should hate Washington, being a fan of a team in the NFC East, I was pretty high on Washington here. I believed in that defense. They're starting to, you know, they're not playing elite or even great, but they've had great performances, and that Pittsburgh game was gutsy as hell. And if there's one thing I like to root for in a team, I like to root for a team that plays gutsy, you know, and Washington does. I mean, that's their MO. Look at their quarterback. Dude got his toe stepped on. It was gushing blood all over his leg, and he still came out and won that football game. So they're easy to root for. They are very easy to root for. All right, I'm going to move on to the DFS plays for the week. I use DraftKings.com. Some of these guys are double dipping between my dudes and my DFS plays, because if he's a dude for me, of course I'm going to try to put him in my DFS lineup. Right? Why would I not? So quarterback Ryan Tannehill at Jacksonville, 6,700. Running back Jonathan Taylor at Las Vegas, 5,800. Running back J.D. McKissic at San Francisco. With Gibson down, he's only 4,900. Start. I think he had 10 receptions last week for Washington. So if he's get you 10 receptions, you know, 40 yards off of 10 receptions, that's 14 points. So that's money right there. DK Metcalf versus the New York Jets. It's going to be like a Seattle. I feel bad for the Jets because Seattle's coming to play, especially after losing to another New York team. I think they're going to throw everything at the Jets, and they're going to try to make a statement. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up 40 points. DK Metcalf is going to have a monster game, 8,400. I usually don't start anybody over 8,000, and he's 8,400 this week, and I am starting him. Corey Davis at Jacksonville, 5,700. Brandon Ayuk versus Washington at 5,400. Tight end Hunter Henry versus Atlanta at 4,400. T. Higgins versus Dallas. I really like that matchup. I really like that matchup for him, because I think anybody in the slot, you know, can really get that Cowboys secondary. You look back at some of the matchups they had this season. I think at 4,300, I think that's decent right there. And then the Cardinals at the New York Giants. You know, the Giants are coming off a high. They just beat Seattle. But I do think the Cardinals defense is fast, and I think they can run sideline to sideline with this Giants offense. And I think Buda Baker and co. is going to give them some trouble, and I think they're going to bring them back down to earth. And they're only 2,700 there, so that's not too much of an investment. So the money I'm spending, you know, I'm losing on Metcalf. I'm making back up by spending money, 2,700 on that defense. So that's the lineup I got for this week. Justin, I heard you got some turtle heads, man.
I do. I do have a turtle head, and it's another one for the future, because, again, with these turtle heads, it's harder and harder to get a good turtle head at the end of the regular season when you're talking for this season. I'm going to start reaching more for future turtle heads. And this week, did I pull it up here? There we go. This week's turtle head is going to be Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert has had a down year full of injuries and a split backfield with a questionable quarterback and an injured starting quarterback. The backfield split involves mostly Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Tevin Coleman. So here's the reason I think you need to be buying him now, because shortly after the offseason ends, all of the Raheem Mostert owners are going to find out that all three of those other guys, Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Tevin Coleman, are all free agents this offseason. At some level, they're a free agent, whether it be unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent, they're still a free agent, and they could potentially move on from the team. That's going to raise his value, okay? So if you hear me out, he's back from injury. They're still splitting carries like crazy. He still didn't have a great game. And you could potentially get him cheaper now in dynasty leagues. And then after all the big news breaks and everybody starts talking highly about Raheem Mostert because McKinnon and Wilson and Coleman are all free agents, then you sell them, you make a profit off of them, and then they're going to end up re-signing a couple of those guys or drafting a running back or bringing someone else in, and they're still going to split carries, and it's not going to be a huge loss either way, but at least you will have made a little bit of a profit off of your move. So that's my turtle head this week, not so much because of his on-field breakout potential, but because of his value breakout potential this offseason.
All right, and that does it for our last episode of the fantasy football regular season. So it's not the end of the NFL regular season, but it's the end of the fantasy football regular season. We do appreciate all of you who have subscribed, who have been tuning in, who have been reaching out to us on Twitter, messaging us, atting us, you know, all that good stuff. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, me and Justin, this would basically just be a good talk. It'd be a good chat that me and Justin be having, and there would be nothing else going on. But the fact that we got listeners makes this all worth it. And we hope you all have some playoff teams. You made the playoffs in your most important leagues. We hope that. We hope that you put yourself in good position to win some money, win some bragging rights, all that good stuff. We hope that we helped you get there. And we will be here throughout the playoffs. If you need us, you know where you can find us. I am on Twitter at Coach Sheps. Justin is on there at JustinFF_. Nate's on there at Nate_Dirt19. And the show is at Toilets to Titles. You can add us. You can tag us. Any questions, start, sit. My DMs are open. Our DMs are open. You can DM us. We will answer you. Okay. All that good stuff, because we do want to help you make those decisions. And we want to help you not only now that you're in the playoffs, we want to help you advance, because that's the goal, man. You're in it now. And you got to go secure that title. And remember, if you can, go to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button. Justin.
That's the second half of our show title right there. The titles. We've taken you from the toilets. You're in the playoffs now. Let's get you those titles. real quick, don't forget to I don't know how much we really want to talk about or anything with Nate, but he is with the baby and spending some time with the family and stuff right now. It is a newborn baby, so you know, a lot of stuff going on there. So we are thinking about you, Nate. We know that you're taking care of business, and we're having fun without you, but we can't wait to have you back and have more fun again. But yeah, just wanted to say that, and just keep loving each other.
That's it, man. Get those W's. We'll talk to you guys next week.